I told you last week that I was going to take us on a journey together, a journey that takes, well, our whole life. And we know the destination, eternity with God. But we don't always understand the journey to our destination. There are times in which on that pathway, that road that we are on, there are times in which, well, like last week, we talked about detours that are sometimes placed upon us, things that we weren't expecting. And so we're heading towards God, but it's not just simply an easy journey. Sometimes detours are thrown out there, and we talked about how either God makes the detours or uses the detours to help us draw closer to Him. And sometimes those detours show us a defect of our character, something we need to work on. Sometimes those detours are made to mature us and to help us to grow. And sometimes those detours are there so that we are in the pathway of somebody else who needs our help along their journey. Well, like last week, I want to use another road sign. And again, like last week, I'm going to take a lot of liberties with it. So just, we'll use the road sign, and then I'll do whatever I want to do with my sermon. And that's kind of the way preachers do it anyway. This week, we're going to take a look at the road sign that says, slow down. Or maybe even, and I don't have the sign up there, but maybe even stop. Sometimes on our journey, we need to slow down. I was going to say I'm a runner, but anybody looks at me and says, no, that's not the case. I am an emotional runner. Let me rephrase all of that, okay? I want to go until I can't go. I'm the type of person that goes on vacation and comes home worn out and needs a vacation from the vacation, okay? My kids tell me it's FOMO. Have you ever heard that phrase? Fear of missing out. Okay? So I have this fear of missing out. So I'm always anxious. I'm always doing something. I'm always trying to see what's around the corner. I'm always wanting to do something. And it's hard for me to slow down. It is hard for my mind to slow down. I'm a person that doesn't always remember my dreams, but I often remember my dreams, and I dream frequently. Even at night, my mind seems to be doing something. And to slow down is not easy for me. In part because there is so much good in this life. And so much that I want to both experience and share with others in life. That just slowing down is not an easy thing. So, what are the benefits of slowing down? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm going to give you three answers to your question. The first is found in this. New York Times columnist, boy, I can't say that word, Thomas Friedman, said, "We are living in the age of acceleration." He said, "The pace of technology and scientific change outstrips the speed with which human beings and societies can usually adapt." I think there's a lot of truth in that. He makes a strong statement that we are simply so busy and in such a hurry that we cannot really adapt to everything that is going on around us. It just seems like time is rushing by. And you may have experienced what he has to say. You may have experienced that emotion, that feeling like it's just going so fast. And I know it's cliche. The older I get, it just seems like it gets faster. You know, it's just like, man, I remember when we had New Year's Eve last year, and now all of a sudden, I know it's only October and halfway through it, not even. And Christmas is out at the stores, and you know, like the year is coming to an end, and now what are we thinking about for 2026? And we got everything going on, and it's just a rush, rush, rush. Slowing down is not easy. Kusuke Koyamaya once asked, "What's the speed of God?" He is an Asian theologian, And he asked the question in an article, what's the speed of God? And in the article, he talks about how we define the speed of light. But he said, can we define the speed of God? Now, it was a devotional style article, so just take it for what it is. And in the article, he wrote about how God became flesh and about Jesus walking, stopping, and interacting with other people. And he said the speed of God is maybe 3 miles an hour at best. And I thought, that's interesting. That Jesus didn't seem to be in this great hurry through life. It was the slowing down. It was the walking with, the talking to, the spending time with others. That the speed of God, instead of rushing, might better be defined by doing what Jesus did, and that is walking and talking with others along the way. Jesus told a parable about a man who was beat up and left for dead on the side of the road. And in this story, it was on a road that was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. So it's a well-traveled story, and Jesus is telling this story because it is something that would be very plausible. Okay, this isn't something that would be totally fictitious. And this guy got beat up, and he's laying on the side of the road, in the rocks on the side of the road. And in the story, Jesus says there is a Jewish priest that was traveling also from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And as he was going along, he saw that man beaten and left half dead on the side of the road. And Jesus said the priest walked by on the other side. And then he continues to tell the story, and he says there was another guy that was going on, and this was a Jewish Levite. Now the Levites, like the priests have to be a Levite, but not every Levite is a priest. This Levite maybe was one who had worked in the temple, one who had worked in synagogues, one who had been a teacher of the law. He too is going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He too comes to the point where he sees the man on the other side. And Jesus says he too crossed and walked by on the other side. Now, Jesus, and I want you to hear this, Jesus didn't condemn those men for being in a hurry. He didn't say they were terrible, horrible, rotten sinners. That's not what he said about them. He just said that their life was in such a rush that even though they saw a need, their life and their desires were more important, so they needed to get to the next point of their destination. Okay? I understand that. I can make myself feel guilty easier than anybody can make me feel guilty. Okay? I'm really good at giving myself a guilt complex. One of the things that bothers me is when I'm driving and somebody is broken down on the side of the road. Now, I know we live in a day with cell phones. And pretty much everybody can just call somebody and AAA or whoever and get help along the side of the road. And I often drive by thinking they got it. But you know what? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they need any help. I don't know if someone is hurt inside that car. I just don't know because I didn't stop. I just drove on. And I'll tell you the worst time, it's always the worst time for me, it's when Carrie and I are driving to come to worship or Wednesday night Bible class. Because the bottom line is now I'm telling myself I can't stop because I can't be late to worship because I'm the preacher. What would it be like if I wasn't here next Sunday morning and you guys were waiting on the beginning of Bible class and Carrie and I didn't show up? You'd probably be concerned. You might even try calling our cell phone to see what's going on. Where are you? Did you sleep in? What's happening? And for me to say, oh, you know, there's this person stuck on the side of the road. I pulled over and they were in a panic attack. The other person was having some health issues, and they were just overwhelmed. I'm just sitting here waiting for the ambulance to come with the person, and I'm just having some prayer time with them. Would that change everything in your mind? Would you say, you know, we could probably forego Bible class. Alan or Dave or Danny or someone will jump up there, Brent, and they'll start teaching God's word. We'll survive. You take care of that family. See, I think you would. But the bottom line is, I don't stop. The bottom line is, I literally pass by on the other side. I mean, literally. Because I've got a destination to get to. Jesus says there's a third person that comes along that road. And this is what he says. We're going to read this from Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 33. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 33 says, "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed mercy." Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This Samaritan, just like the priest and the Levite, had some place to go. This Samaritan, just like that priest and the Levite, traveling from Jerusalem on the road down to Jericho, saw the man who was beaten and left on the side of the road. The difference is this Samaritan slowed down that busy life to stop and help. And when Jesus asked the guy who was talking to him about who was my neighbor, and he tells him the story, when he says, "Well, who is the neighbor?" The guy couldn't even say Samaritan because he doesn't like Samaritans. He just simply said, "The one who showed mercy." Did you catch Jesus' response? "Go and do likewise." Sometimes I need to slow down. Sometimes I need to stop to help out another person along the way. Sometimes that's the most important thing to be doing at that point in time. And while, yes, we lead a busy life, and yes, there are sometimes very spiritually good things that we need to do or feel we have to get done, sometimes the right thing to do is to slow down, to come alongside of that brother, that sister, or that stranger and say, "What's going on? Can I help? Can we talk?" Yes, we'll still get towards your destination. But you know what? If you do this, if you decide that slowing down really is an important quality in your spiritual life, it will cost you. It will take your time. It will take your emotional energy. Because what you are doing is you are beginning to invest into God's creation, His people, those who are alongside. Sometimes we have to slow down. But when I do, when I really do slow down and then come alongside somebody else, I will tell you, I feel far more fulfilled than just saying, "I made it to my destination." Because I know God slowed me down. There is a second reason to slow down, and that is simply to say, God's got this. Sometimes I forget that God is God and I am not. I am in such a hurry because there are so many things that I need to get done before I die, I guess. That's the before answer, okay? Sometimes I get overwhelmed with all the busyness in life. And anxiety fills within me over the unseen fears. I can write a story better than most people. And that part of it is my upbringing and my education. But boy, I can write a story in my head that hasn't happened yet. And I can catastrophize with the best of them. Okay, I got a cold, so I'm therefore going to die of pneumonia. Okay, I can write the story. Sometimes I need to slow down to remember God's got this. This isn't even me. It's not even in my control. I feel this rush to either flee, fight, or even fix things. I've got to fix the problem. But you know what? Sometimes I can't. So I'm so busy trying to get these things done that I forget to slow down and say, who does have the power to fix these problems? That's God. Taking you back to what was read and sung to us, through us, and that is Psalm 46. In Psalm 46, the psalmist here, and it's really the whole psalm is a beautiful psalm, says in verse 8 and following, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Now look at this. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Rest. Pause. Probably some musical annotation. Come and see. The first thing, well, in this portion, the first thing that we read here in verse 8 is to come. Sometimes I need to come and see what God is doing. I'm trying to do all these things because I'm in such a hurry. I've got to get all these things done. I've got to fix this. I've got to go there. I've got to help that person. I've got to do this Bible study. I've got to be at that small group. I've got to go to that workshop. I've got to be at that food gathering. Whatever it is, I've got to go, 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 go. And sometimes I just need to stop. Just slow down and see what God has done. You know, I loved the prayer that we had just a moment ago that Alan was praying for us. Because really what he was doing is quoting this psalm, this ending of this psalm. Look what God has done. He has broken the bow and the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. What he says is, God's destroyed the enemy. There is no more fighting now. So if God is in control, if God is able to take care of the enemy, and I'm rushing to try to fix everything, and my anxiety is going through the roof trying to get that done, what if I just stopped and said, what's God doing? What if I realized by looking back that I could see forward, that God has always helped me here? Why would I say he would ever leave me or forsake me? Why would I say he can't do something? The psalmist comes back and says, behold the works of God. When you see that that is taken care of, here's his conclusion in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. That Hebrew wording means to slow down, to relax, to surrender, to see. Just sit with God. I am so thankful of what we have seen and been able to witness as a result, I believe, of God's power and through our prayer time, of people like Sam Shearer. I mean, such a remarkable change in that young man from literally being at death's door to being almost, maybe almost really 100% back to to where he is right now. God's got this. And sometimes I got to slow down. And I just need to sit with God. Be still, Jeffrey. Just be still and know who God is. The third thing that I want to mention is that of meditation. It's a challenge that I want to make to you. And I don't mean to say clear your mind and have nothingness in your mind. I couldn't do that even if I tried. So I know that that's not going to work for me, but that's not even biblical meditation. It's not clearing and emptying my mind. It is filling my mind with God. And actually specifically taking a small portion of God's Word. And I think in the Hebrew picturing, the word pictures that goes on here, this idea of meditation, is kind of chewing on it. Just sitting there and chewing on it. So taking something like Psalm 46 that I just read the ending of to you, and just sitting there each day, reading it, listening to God, asking questions of it, hearing responses. I know that sounds a little scary, but letting God's Word speak back to you. Meditating on it. The book of Psalms begins by saying, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." He just, and so many of you have told me about this in your life, that there are things that happen in your life and they draw a scripture to your mind. And, or maybe you wake up in the morning and there is literally a Bible verse that has come into your head when your eyes open up and you're laying on your bed. And you just ponder that verse before you ever put your feet on the floor. There are times some of you have told me that you have gone through the most difficult time in your life, the loss of a deep loved one, a situation that has just hurt so bad. And you find yourself drawn to a single passage of Scripture. And you just sit with it. You meditate on it day and night. It gives you the peace that nothing else can give. I love, and I told Carrie, I said, I want to try to do it again. I want to read through my Bible in a year. And I think it's a wonderful thing to do. And you may say, well, you know, that's not a big deal. It takes like 30 minutes a day, 40 minutes a day, depending on how slow of a reader you are. I don't want to give up 45 minutes of my day. Sorry, I'm just throwing that out there, okay? That's an episode of Blue Bloods or something. You know, I got to be careful what I've, you know, how I manage my time. Well, I want to read through the Bible in a year. I also want to make sure there are times I sit with just a verse or two. Yes, I want to have the understanding of the whole. But there are also times when I just need to sit, to slow down, and to hear God speak right into my heart, and to use His Word to do that. To meditate on it day and night. Life is busy. You need a good work ethic. You need to be worthy of your wages. Those are two things my dad instilled in me. But you also need to learn to slow down. You need to learn when you are running ahead of instead of with. You need to learn when life is so overwhelming because you are on this rush, rush, rush scenario that you've forgotten who God is or the people that he's placed in your life or the very word of God that has been implanted in your soul. Slow down. Isn't really that kind of a destiny anyway, to be with the Lord? And if slowing down helps us to be with God, isn't that really what we're looking for? See, when you and I slow down, what happens is we find ourselves in his presence. And in his presence, I find peace. I don't know where you are in your rush of life. Maybe you're exactly where you need to be. Or maybe you need someone to look you in the eye and say, slow down. Chill. Breathe. Remember, God is in control. He's got this. Be in his presence and find peace. If we can help you to do that, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?